Welcome to the Words of Grace podcast. In these podcasts, we seek to clarify, amplify, and apply the Sunday sermons at Grace Community Church. From time to time, we'll also discuss other topics as we consider how to live out our faith in Christ. Our desire is that the Word of God would press into your everyday life. All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. This is Josh.
Hello, everybody. This is Scott.
And we're recording this on September 22nd, first day of fall.
That's right. But yeah. It doesn't feel like it.
It doesn't yet, no. It's going to rain. I hear it's going to cool off a little bit later this week.
Well, that would be good.
You got a fall bucket list this year?
Same. I want to be outside more. Mm-hmm. That's always a difficult thing for me to schedule. Mm-hmm. But there are a couple hikes I want to take.
Okay, where do you want to go?
I want to go out to the South Cumberland area, South Cumberland State Park area.
Okay.
And do and hike out there a bit. And if anybody wants to go, call me.
Nice.
We'll go together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about you? Kids have fall break in a couple weeks, and we're going to go to D.C.
Nice.
See some of Laura's family. And we're actually going to camp at a park near DC, like 30 minutes outside of town. We're gonna
camp.
If the weather permits, we're gonna camp out and then ride into DC for 2 or 3 days and see the stuff.
Now in the spring, don't they talk about, do I have it right? Do they talk about the cherry blossoms in,
I think that's a thing.
In DC mm-hmm. in the
yep.
spring? What
I don't
about
think
the
I've
fall?
Ever been there. Yeah, I don't know about the fall.
Okay.
Just not as hot, hopefully.
That's right. You know? Just leaves turning.
Yeah. So we haven't taken our kids. I think one of mine have been on a school trip.
Okay.
But I haven't been to DC in 20 years probably.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Been a minute. And then on the fall thing, this Sunday we have a church picnic.
That's right.
Which we always do in the fall. Mm-hmm.
Granny White Park.
That's right.
And Granny White Pike.
Mm-hmm. Just down the road.
Down the road, right after the second service. So that'll be fun. We're going to hope the weather's nice. Do we know yet what the forecast is?
You know, I think a lot this week it's looking like there's chances of rain, but I don't think we can say yet.
Okay. But. Well, I hope everyone can join us. We'll have a good time.
That'll be fun. Well, this Sunday was wonderful, and it's great to worship together. And
it was good to be together.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We're continuing on in Acts, which is great.
Yep.
And we were in the end of Acts chapter 2, where we're getting kind of a snapshot of what that birth of the church looked like and mm-hmm. what people were doing. So give us a little overview of what your sermon was on Sunday.
Yeah, we were in the last, as you just said, the last part of Acts chapter 2, and a couple of highlights that are, one, it describes who these people are. So they of course are the people in Jerusalem mm-hmm. on the day of Pentecost. They are Jewish people. They are devout in their devotion to God, and some of them are proselytes to Judaism, converts to Judaism. And they're all there. They're hearing the sermon that Peter is preaching about the gift of the Holy Spirit and about Jesus of Nazareth. And at the end, after they hear the gospel and they're called to repentance and faith, mm-hmm. and they do. And so the people that we were dealing with on Sunday were those who received the word. They were baptized in a public profession of their faith in Christ. They were added to Christ and to his people and to that group there in Jerusalem. And they were devoted.
Okay.
And what a beautiful picture.
Yeah.
It was just a very beautiful picture of who we are practically as Christians. And then the next verse, Acts 2:42, gives functions of that church. What did they do as they were gathered? Mm-hmm. And they gave themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, the gathering of the people, and to sharing and fellowshipping and sharing their life in Christ together. And to the breaking of bread, we saw that as most likely referring to the Lord's Supper, mm-hmm. which in the broader context is they worshiped together, that part of their worship was teaching and fellowshipping and the Lord's Supper, and then they gave themselves to the prayers. So that was, it's a beautiful snapshot of what took place at that moment, that time in redemptive history, and the day of Pentecost, and the coming of the Spirit, and the birth of the church. So then we just try to draw out our own exhortations about being devoted to those things.
Yeah.
I could, it's, it really is a passage for me that is important.
Yeah.
To the birth of Grace Community Church. It was obviously one of the early passages of Scripture that we studied and prayed over, seeking to see how the Lord would use this passage to shape who we are and what we do as a congregation.
Yeah.
So it's very special to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. That's great. I did have one thing I wanted to ask you about that might be a point of clarification for somebody who maybe hasn't grown up in church or something, but we're asking the question of who these people are, who the and you made a statement that, you know, the church is made up of Christians. Mm-hmm. And someone might say, well, then what about Sunday mornings? Is that a closed meeting? Or okay. are there, you know, if the people that are in that moment added to the number, they're meeting together, these are the people, they're people who believe, people who are baptized. Mm-hmm. But Sunday mornings aren't necessarily all people who have been baptized or all people who are even believers yet. So what would you
That's
say?
That's right. About? Okay, good. Good clarification. I think I put that in the context of two statements. One was the norm, what the Bible is teaching is that people who are in Christ, who are Christians, are also people who are going to be devoted to the congregation. Mm-hmm. And then the people who are members or who are added to the congregation are people who are in fact Christians. Mm-hmm. So I was trying to put those two right there and say right. this is the biblical picture. But you raise a good point, and that is, but is everyone on a Sunday, does that mean everyone on a Sunday morning is or must be a Christian? And the answer to that is no. So I would put it this way. There are two things happening when Grace Community Church, at Grace Community Church as a congregation and when we gather, there are two things happening. One is we are opening the doors and actually inviting anyone who wants to hear the message of the gospel, mm-hmm. And wants to know the Lord, we say you're welcome here. But we don't count them as members of the church until they do come to know the Lord.
Yeah.
Until they do repent and believe and profess their faith in Christ through baptism and gather with us, covenant with us. Then they become members. So on a Sunday morning, you would have a gathering of people who some of them, most of them, are members of Grace Community Church or whatever church is gathering, if they're a faithful church. And then you would also have people who are in that gathering who are considering or just interested in Christianity, in mm-hmm. who Jesus is, what discipleship is, what salvation and discipleship are.
Yeah.
And that's happening at the same time.
Yeah.
So when we gather on Sunday mornings, you know, I'm preaching. People will notice that we're singing and we're praying and we're preaching a message that Christians, to edify and build up Christians. But then there are moments in our services, like before the Lord's Supper is one of them. Mm-hmm. And then also in the sermons, or maybe at the end when we might say, if you're interested in Christ, come see us. Where we're actually then addressing people who don't know the Lord,
yeah.
who are not Christians. Hmm. So yeah, that's the way I would. And it was I'm sure it was happening in the church in Jerusalem.
Yeah,
it says 3,000 were added that day, but that doesn't mean that there were only 3,000 listening to Peter's sermon. There might have been 5,000. In fact, the next chapter we're going to get the number 5,000, and then a couple chapters later we're going to get they kept multiplying.
Yeah,
so over time, people kept coming to faith in Christ in this Jerusalem church.
Yeah.
That means that the initial time many came to faith in Christ, there were people who did not come to faith in Christ
right.
at that moment.
Yeah. Hmm. Okay. Yeah. So anybody is welcomed on a Sunday morning.
They yeah.
Come hang out and hear about Jesus.
Yes.
Yeah.
We would love to have that conversation. We'd love to just talk normally. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to... You don't have to show, a Christian identification card. You don't have right. to. You don't have to be able to recite anything. Mm-hmm. You just come in, and we would just love to have normal, genuine conversations about people's faith.
Yeah,
and where they are and what their understanding of Christianity is.
Mm-hmm. That's great. In hearing you talk about this passage particularly being important to Grace becoming a church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's this idea, and I think it's a good one, that we want our church to be founded upon the same things that we see the church in its birth being founded on, right?
Yes.
So that's what this is a good summary statement of. And so many people in that desire look at the book of Acts and will see all of the things happening in Acts.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned one of those that we'll come to in just a second, but they'll say, if that's not if this thing that's mentioned is not happening, mm-hmm. then we need to reorient ourselves and get ourselves back to the New Testament church or something. And you made a designation between what is normative, and mm-hmm. in other words, what should exist today exactly mm-hmm. as we mm-hmm. see it there,
mm-hmm.
and what might be more specific to the moment.
Yes.
And the one that you mentioned on Sunday, or at least one of the ones you mentioned on Sunday, had to do with people selling their goods and selling their possessions and giving to people as they had need.
Yes.
And talk about that for a moment. What makes something normative? How can we tell that it's normative?
Okay.
That might be the better question, because we can't look at all of Acts and say, well, there's tons of stuff happening in Acts that isn't happening on a normal Sunday morning with us. So how do we tell what's normative and what's not?
Okay. That's a whole sermon. Maybe I should do that on Sunday.
Hey, there you go.
A couple of thoughts related to that. One is, we would say that something, well, normative means it's a normal part of, in a normal teaching,
right,
in the New Testament, and therefore a normal part of what we do as a congregation. And then there are exceptions.
Mm-hmm.
So what is normative is not just what we see happen, but what is actually taught through the rest of the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
So in Acts 2:42, we saw them devoted to the apostles' teaching, devoted to the fellowship, devoted to the breaking of bread of the Lord's Supper, and devoted to prayer. Then we can go with each one of those four, we can trace numerous instructions, not just examples, but numerous instructions throughout the rest of the New Testament to say, do these things.
Mm-hmm.
And so we would say, therefore, they are instructed for the church. They are normative.
Right.
When we came to the next part of that passage, we saw that they were doing things that looked like they were applications mm-hmm. of those normative things that weren't that were meeting specific needs for the moment, or they had a different purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So let's take the selling the possessions. They did that to meet needs. The normative thing was to meet the need. The specific time, or the specific application in their time was to meet those needs, they sold things.
Mm-hmm.
So the command throughout the rest of the New Testament is never for us to sell all of our possessions.
Right.
Or any specific possession. But the command throughout the rest of the New Testament is for us to be generous.
Mm-hmm.
So there you have it. Because it's commanded to be generous, that's the norm. If it requires of someone, if they see a need and they believe they need to meet that need and it might require them to sell something, fine, sell it.
Yeah.
But that's just the way they get to doing what was normative.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Another one would be the miracles that the apostles were performing. Actually, it says the miracles were performed through the apostles, which means the Holy Spirit was producing the miracles, not the apostles. They were just doing it through, he was doing it through the apostles.
Mm-hmm.
So we could say that what was normative in that day was the teaching of the apostles that was being authenticated by the Holy Spirit doing the signs and wonders, and the way he did it specifically and uniquely for that time and place was through signs and wonders.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're not commanded and instructed to continue to do signs and wonders throughout the rest of the New Testament.
Yeah.
So that's one way. I'm sure we could probably talk a lot more about what makes something normative and what makes something unique to that moment. But that might be a good general rule for people to follow.
Yeah. And I'm sure that as we walk through, you know, we got 27 chapters left to go, 26.
Yeah.
I think
we'll have a lot of time.
We'll have plenty of opportunities to look at individual situations and talk about what makes something normative or not.
There's a lot in the book of Acts.
That's right.
Yes.
At the end of it, if we summed it all up, it's we as Grace Community Church want to be devoted to the same things that they're listed as being devoted in Acts 2.
Correct. The things that we can discern are to characterize the normal life of Spirit-filled congregation. Those are the things we want to do.
That's right.
And I think that's the whole point of Acts 2. It's this Holy Spirit is producing in us as people that the Holy Spirit has made alive, mm-hmm. Devotion to the things that he wants his church to be about.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's going to be fun to continue that discussion as we go.
Okay. Thanks.